God is really moving all over the earth. And, you know, yesterday when I was preparing the sermon, I was lying on my, we've got sort of a study room. It's a, sort of the spare room. It's only got one bed on it, one single bed. And I've got a nice big map of the world up there. And I was lying on this bed, just, you know, asking the Lord, what does He really want to say? I knew the theme that He wants to, you know, wants to speak to you guys about this today and this evening and this afternoon. But I was lying there and I was just looking at this amazing map of the world. And the Lord just dropped into my heart and He just said, Alistair, it's time for us to celebrate what I'm doing in the nations. Because, you know, sometimes we look at all the bad news. We look at what's going on in Libya and just what's going on in Japan and what's going on in the Middle East and just the terrible stuff that's happening. But God just challenged me and He said, do you really believe that my glory is covering the earth? Because the Bible says the earth is full of the glory of the Lord. And I was looking at this map of all the nations and thinking, there's just so many places out there that I probably don't even know half the names. Weird names, weird nations. But you know, God is moving. God's glory is moving all over the earth, all over the nations. And He was just challenging me into saying, Alistair, it's time for you and it's time for all believers to celebrate what I'm doing all over the earth. Because I'm doing amazing things all over the world. I'm doing great things. Not only here in your midst, but I'm doing great things all over the earth. So my message tonight is simply about really celebrating what God is doing. And I also believe that God wants us to live a life of celebration. God wants us to live a life, not only just on a Sunday or on a Wednesday when we get together, but live a life of really where we're partying for the Lord because we're free. We don't have anything holding us back. We are free to party and to enjoy life. And to really live life to the full. This abundant life that the Bible talks about. And one, I've seen a company now, my wife works for a company called Flight Center. Very worldly company, really focused on making as much money as possible, dog eat dog competition, the best people win and the rest, you know, you'll just kind of, if you don't make it, you're just out. And it's a very competitive company. But once a year, they have this amazing awards function, this amazing celebration of what has happened throughout the year. And I've been to four of these functions and just the effort that they put in, they take the whole year leading up to that event to plan this event. There's a whole team that's full-time working on the awards function. And I just was challenged by just the fact that they celebrate their company, they celebrate the achievements, they celebrate the people in the company, and it's really inspiring for new people coming in because they see, yes, man, one day I could maybe win a car, one day I could maybe win this amazing holiday overseas. But it's going to take a lot of hard work because if you listen to the stories, people are working kind of 12 hours a day almost, and it's really a competitive, very business-focused company. But what was amazing is these formal balls, these awards functions that they have, it's just a huge celebration. Everyone dresses up a bit like we did last night and just celebrates what has happened throughout the year, what has happened and the achievements. And obviously the top people get the awards, but it's still a celebration of the company. It's a celebration of everyone who's working for that company and really committing to the vision of the company. And I believe God wants us in the church to do the same. He wants us not only once a year or once a week, but every day to celebrate life, to celebrate what He's doing, to wake up in the morning and to have a party and to say, Lord, thank You for life. Thank You that You've given me life in abundance. And there's a story that we all know, and I'm going to just, it's one of Jesus' amazing parables, and lots of us know it as the prodigal son and the son coming back and all that, but I'm going to focus a little bit differently on this story of the prodigal son. Because there's an amazing truth here. There are a few truths that I feel that we must really embrace and really ask the Lord, what is He saying to us through His word here? And it's, obviously we all know there's a father, he's got two sons, and he says to the one son, Father, please, I want my inheritance now. He was the younger son. He said, please, I want my inheritance, and I've got this amazing inheritance, and I want it. And the father, the good guy that he was, he just said, right, son, you can have it. He probably warned him before the time and said, look, you are too young for it, but yeah, you know, have it and see what happens. And the son ran away with his inheritance. He took it, he spent it, he wasted it, found himself there with the pigs, and he didn't even have food to eat. And he realized, but yes, you know, even my father's servants, they've got so much food to eat. You know, how can I be living in this mess? And he really realized that he was at the lowest point in his life. He decided to turn back and said, I'm going to go back to my father, and I'm going to make right, because this is just not how it works. So yeah, we pick up the story in Luke chapter 15 from verse 20, where it says, and he arose, that's the son, he arose and he came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him. Now I'm going to stop right there, because this just speaks to me of, this father must have had and an expectation that sometime, somewhere along the line, the son is going to return. If he saw him a great way off, I picture now this, I've sort of tried to picture in my mind when I read stories like this, what it must have been like. So I picture this farm scenario, this farmhouse in the, maybe in the Free State or there in the Northern Cape where it's flat. You can see for miles there's this nice dirt road leading to the house and going just to the ends of the earth almost. And the son coming down this dirt road, feeling all sorry for himself, all, you know, down and everything. And yeah, this father looking up and seeing in the distance the son coming back to him. So what I see in this is that while he was still a great way off, meaning that the father must have had an expectation. The father must have actually had faith. Now, I don't know how long he waited for his son. I don't know if he every day sort of looked along this road or looked to wherever his son could have been coming from. That doesn't matter. But the fact that in his heart, he must have had an expectation. He must have had real faith that his son was going to return. Because when he was a great way off, his father saw him. Now, when I read this piece, I just thought to myself, this sounds a lot like this verse that I quite know. That I know very well. It's a verse that led me to give my life to the Lord Jesus. Because it says here in Romans 5, from verse 6, when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still far off, while we were still very far away, Jesus was standing there like this Father. God the Father was standing there waiting for us. He had an expectation. He had a positive expectation that somewhere along the line, we were going to return as His children. Just like this Father did. You see, so God is, not that God needs faith, but God has made everything possible for us to return to Him. God has made a way for us. And He did that 2,000 years ago on the cross. And He said, I look down on mankind and I just want to make a way for them to return to Me. I cannot force them, but there's a way that's been made for us to come back. Just like this father had an expectation that his door was open to the son. His door was open. He was having an expectation that he was going to return to his son. So it's amazing. The Lord really challenged me with this. And I believe that all of us as Christians, if we have come to this place where we have returned to God, we can have a positive expectation for others as well. We can also have a positive expectation that people can return to their Savior. Because here in Romans 8, verse 28, as Christians, we should know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. So not only for people to return, but for things to work out for our good. So whatever breakthrough you're trusting the Lord for tonight, whatever person, maybe you're praying for years and years for someone to return to Jesus, you can know that all things work together for good to those who love God. We can embrace this and say, Lord, thank You that everything is going to work together for my good. I can have a positive expectation. I can already start to celebrate by faith that things are going to work out. So maybe this evening you're going through the toughest challenge. You are frustrated. Your life is just falling apart. But you know God and you're wondering, but what is happening here? This verse says to you that you can know tonight all things work together for good. Not only for you, but for other people whose lives are falling apart, God has made a way for them through Jesus Christ. So the celebration, what I'm trying to say this evening is my first point here, is that celebration starts by faith. Celebration starts with an expectation that we can know already and we can start to celebrate other people and celebrate what God is doing. Even if it's not in the natural, even if it's not being seen yet, we can have a positive expectation like this father had when he saw his son, even before he was there. I believe he already believed that he must have been coming back because he saw him a great way off. So he was already starting there to celebrate. And that is really faith to me. That is really where our faith is challenged. Do we see into the supernatural where people can return to God? Our situations can change. We can have breakthroughs if we just expect it and we walk by faith. So that's my first point here. And it's amazing the scripture just highlights these things. You see, people are drawn to positive people. I don't know about you, but I don't like spending time around someone who's always complaining, who's always negative, who's always seeing the bad things. Yes, and sometimes we have to see the challenges and see the, you know, where can we find solutions to things that aren't right. But you know, the Lord challenged me a week or 2 weeks ago. And He just said to me, Alistair, sometimes you are being very critical with certain things. You're sort of seeing always, you're seeing the things, where are the problems, where can we find solutions? And that's good. But if you're always going to see the problems and always the critical stuff, above seeing the positive, above seeing what God is doing, and focus on the negatives rather, you're at the wrong place. And God challenged me and He said, it's time for you to just celebrate people. Just, even if it's a guy putting petrol into your car, just encourage him and celebrate who he is. But if we're going to focus all on the negatives and how many people aren't saved and what a mess the world is in, we're going to miss the fact that God is moving all around. God is starting to speak to people, challenge people, and people are being drawn to His kingdom. But you see, if we're not expecting that, if we're seeing all the negatives, then we're at a difficult place and God cannot use us to really bless others. So God challenged me and He said, start having a positive expectation. Start praying for people that are maybe very far off. But the fact is, we've got a testimony. When Christ died for us while we were still sinners, while we were still far off, He died for us and we have been brought near. So anyone can be brought near. But do we have a positive expectation for people to come in? So I'm talking here tonight about celebration. The celebration doesn't start when the breakthrough happens. It doesn't start when someone gets saved. It starts in our hearts right now when we have a positive expectation that God is moving and that He's doing amazing things. That is living by faith. Some of us are going to get excited this evening by the end of the sermon. I trust the Lord for that. Right, the story continues here in chapter 20 or verse 20b and 21. And what it says, the father saw him and what did he have? He had great compassion on him. He had compassion and he ran and he fell on his neck and kissed him. Now this type of behavior, if it's impossible if you're bearing a grudge against someone, you cannot fall on this guy's neck or this girl's neck and kiss them and embrace them like that. If you're bearing a grudge, if you've got bitterness or you're not really at a great place, you're not going to embrace someone like this. This father must have totally, totally forgiven this son already in his heart because he believed that he was going to return. So he was already at peace with the fact that he was going to repent. He didn't have to force him to repent. He had an amazing compassion. Now the word compassion here means moved in the inside. His bowels were moved. He was really focused and passionate about just loving this child of his. He was really moved, and this reaction cannot allow for any judgment. This reaction of kissing the person and hugging him, he must have had no bitterness and no resentment against the son in his heart to have that kind of reaction. And then listen, the son says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. You see, the response immediately is repentance. And we know that scripture, God's goodness leads us to repentance. The goodness, the love, the compassion of this father led his son to repentance. And yes, the son decided before he was going to come, the son repented. But if this father had been hard of heart and he had been sort of angry with the son, he probably would have thought, yo, but this is a bit harsh. Maybe I must just wait till he cools down, then I'll repent. But he immediately saw this compassion and it just confirmed the fact that he can repent right now. His father's not even worried about it. His father's embracing him just for who he is. And I believe for us as passionate believers, we need to have passionate love for those others out there that don't know the Lord yet. Because sometimes we're so quick to judge. We're so quick to put people in boxes and we don't celebrate people because we can't see already what God is doing. So the passionate love is just not there anymore. We don't have love. We don't have compassion on people who are losing their lives. Listen to God's amazing promise here for us. But God, who is rich in mercy, Ephesians 2 verse 4, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. God has made us alive. But He has poured out that same passionate love in our hearts that we can have for others. See, when God looked down on mankind, He was moved with the same passion. He was moved to that where His inner being was just moved to say, yeah, mankind is just, they are losing it. I need to make a plan. And immediately God's passion sent Jesus Christ to the cross. Sent Jesus to die the worst death ever for us to come to repentance. And that's why the goodness of God leads us to repentance. His love, it's not He's forcing Himself on us and saying we must do this and we must do that and we just off the rails. God wants us to realize that we are the apple of His eye. He has got a passionate love for us and He has poured that love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that we can have that same passionate love. We can start to celebrate people and even celebrate other believers. Because yeah, in 1 Peter 4 verse 8, the Peter's writing and he's saying to the believers, above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Love will cover a multitude of sins. Now this is quite a tricky scripture because lots of people would think, ah, well, we can just accept what people are doing. And yeah, you know, there's some believers that are sleeping around. So let's just, you know, go for it. We love them. But that's not love at all. They are messing their lives up. So love demands, yeah, that we challenge them, but fervent love, yeah, talks about a stretching forth without ceasing, a continuous love. And this is a love where we want the best for the other person. It will not always agree with the other person's desires, but it will always respect their choice. So if people want to choose to mess their lives up, if believers want to choose to go against the principles of God, that's their choice. But we need to warn them and be accountable and say to someone who we're in relationship with, come on, you're wasting your life now. But if it's their, if they want to choose to still continue in sin, then it's their choice. We'll never override their choice. But passionate and fervent love, yeah, demands that we challenge them, that we say, come, let's talk about this. But God is clear, yeah, and He says, have fervent love for one another. Have fervent love for the believers. And practice that love here in church, so that when unbelievers come in, we can already have love for them. We already don't judge them if they're still smoking and if they're still, you know, doing the wrong things in our eyes. We can just have love and start to build relationship with them. And you see, this passionate love, when we get this right in our church and with one another, amongst one another, God is just going to add so many people because we can already start to practice this passionate love for other people. So God says, start now. Start with the people in your small group. Spend time with them. Get to know them. Get to know other people in church. Start to spread this passionate love around in church and see what God is going to do. See how God is going to add people and trust you with people you cannot judge, but really love and really honor them. So celebration continues when we're talking here about passionate love, because without that, we cannot celebrate people. Without passionate love, like this Father had, who was rich in mercy, just like God the Father, always willing to just completely forgive and say, come, I want to embrace you. Come to where you need to be. Exciting stuff. And then the story continues. Verse 22. Now, the father has just said to the son, he said, or the son has repented now. But it's almost like the father didn't even want to hear that repentance. All he says here, he says, servants, come. Let's put the best robe on him. Bring out the best robe. Put it on him. I don't even want to hear his repentance. Just keep quiet. Put on the best robe. Put a ring on his hand. Put sandals on his feet. Immediately, he doesn't even talk about this repentance, talk about this whole, he just knows in his heart, the son has repented, so now he wants to affirm it. Now he wants to say, son, I want to give you a new character. I see your true character. I see the fact that you have got a new robe. That's why I want to put a new robe on you, because you're washed clean. The sin is gone. You've repented. You are free. You are completely free. So, Yari says, he says, he's putting a robe, and that talks about a new identity. A new identity. Son, you've got a new identity. You're where you're supposed to be now. You're not there with the pigs and with where you've wasted your inheritance anymore. Forget about that. It's done right here. The deal has been done. He has your new robe of righteousness. Talks about the righteousness of God. We look at it just now. And then the ring. He put a ring on his finger, talking about he's given him authority. He's given him, now in the Bible times they used to have this ring on their finger. I don't know which finger it was, but it was like their signature was on this ring. They used to put it in wax and stamp documents and stamp things. That was the authority that that king or the leader in those times had. This father was obviously in a position of authority, and he said, son, but you can take my signature. Whatever check I write out, you can have whatever you want as well. You've got the authority to sign checks and to, yes, your inheritance, son. Take this authority. It's amazing. I mean, he must have thought now, I mean, I was wondering now, does this father now think that the son's never going to sin again? Or do you think he's maybe got a suspicion, maybe he might turn his back on him again? I think he probably thought, well, he could. He's got a free choice to turn his back again and waste more of his inheritance. But the father said, I love you so much. He has the authority. I want to give you this authority. Same with us in God. And we'll see now. I'll talk about that just now. But then the sandals talk about destiny and purpose. He says, son, but yeah, you're going to walk in the purposes that you're supposed to be. You're not going to walk and mess around anymore. Yeah, your new sandals. You've got a new destiny, a new purpose. So immediately the father is seeing the son's true character. He's saying, son, I know you've messed up, but this is who you really are. Just come and live in this. Come and enjoy this. I want to celebrate you, son. And yeah, in Isaiah 61, the writer says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For, listen to this, he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Amazing stuff here. Yeah, it talks about this robe of righteousness that we have been clothed with in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our robe of righteousness. We have been made righteous. We are in right standing with God as believers. And maybe you, yeah, this afternoon, and you don't know, you're not sure. Maybe Am I going to make it to heaven? Am I not? God wants to say to you today, there's an opportunity for you to just say, Lord, I want that robe of righteousness on me. I want Jesus Christ to cover me completely because I'm not sure. I'm still in doubt. And God says He has given you Jesus Christ, the fullness, the garments of salvation, the robe of righteousness. It's exciting stuff. But you see, this new identity, when it talks about the robe and talks about the ring talks about the authority that Jesus has given us in His Holy Spirit. He has said to us, yeah, I've given you the Holy Spirit. Yeah, is all my authority, all my power. It's like a down payment. The Holy Spirit is a down payment. It's like that ring that son received. It's like a down payment, like an engagement ring, saying, I'm coming again. I'm coming to fetch you. But for now, while you're on earth, yeah, is your down payment. You have all the power, all the authority that's in my life. Jesus and God the Father saying, have every authority. Have all authority, yeah, and go and ask me what you must do with this authority. But it's a lot of authority. God has given us the fullness of His Spirit. He has given us the fullness of Himself by His Holy Spirit. So we have all the gifts to operate in. We have all the power of God. And God has said, I've given it to you as a free gift. Walk in this. Yeah, is your new authority. And then the sandals talk about destiny and purpose. Talk about go and make disciples. God has said, I want to put sandals on your feet with the gospel, the shoes of the gospel of peace. Go and make disciples. That's your new purpose. Your purpose is not to try and make as much money as you can and to build the biggest house and to have a kingdom of your own. Your purpose, yes, son, is to go to make disciples of all nations. What an exciting purpose. And just for us to go to Bloemfontein, you know, it's just so exciting. You know, at the start when the head office, you know, there at the Pastor Summit at the end of last year, Fred was talking seriously about Bloemfontein and we need to plant churches more seriously than ever before, and this is our vision, is to reach nations. And so I started thinking, yeah, I suppose me being in the supportive ministry here in Pretoria, and I suppose I'm going to be asked one time, because they did say to me, Alistair, you're going to go up here, you're going to learn as much as you can, and then, you know, you'll probably be sent out. I didn't know how long it would take. I thought maybe 5 years, 10 years, then I'll be a pastor. You know? Then they came to us and said, would you guys... We believe that God wants to call you to Bloemfontein. It's your choice. You can say no. But we believe in you. We believe you will do the job. And there I had to realize that this is the call that God has placed on my life specifically, and He's placed it on every one of our lives. Not necessarily to be a pastor of a church, but to go and make disciples. To be the most effective person you can be in making disciples. So I had to decide when I left the engineering world and came into the ministry, I said to the Lord, God, I'll go wherever I must go, but if I must make a bigger difference in the marketplace, then keep me in the engineering field. But if I can make a bigger difference in the church, God, I want to work full-time for the church. I want to be in the ministry. And the Lord just said to me, Alistair, I want to use you in the ministry. So not all of us have been called to be pastors in the full-time ministry, but we have been called, our new purpose and destiny is to go and make disciples. It's to go and to be a blessing to as many people as possible, to extend our sphere of influence. And that might mean that you must go and get a job and you must climb the corporate ladder to be the CEO so that you can influence many people. But whatever it is, just ask the Lord and be obedient. But you see, God has given us a new purpose and a new destiny. He's saying to us tonight, put on the new sandals and go and walk. Just walk with me, but move. Sandals talk about shoes where, you know, I can, if I don't have shoes on, I can be in barefoot and I can just stand and it'll be fine. I can sit and lie and it'll be great. But shoes talk about, I need to move. You know, I'm a runner and without shoes, my feet would be very sore with running if I have to run barefoot. But the shoes, tackies, you know, Asics are great tackies because we can run many miles with them. So God is saying, yeah, I want to put sandals on your feet and I want you to move with me. I want you to move in this adventure of life. And then I want you to start celebrating people. I want you also to, because I've seen your true character. Your true character is to make disciples, is to go and to be a blessing. So I want you to see that in others. I want you to see their true character. Their true character is also to be a son and a daughter of God. That is their true character. But if we see all the wrong things they do and all the sin, then we start to focus on that and we miss the purposes of God. This is exciting stuff when we start to see the true character of other people and we start to see our own true character. And some of us this afternoon, we need to just say, Lord, I want to come back to you again because I realize I've missed my true character. My true character has been stolen by the devil. I'm focusing on everything else but what you want me to do. I'm focusing on everything else but to really make a difference in this world, to make disciples. Because look at this amazing scripture in Matthew 16. Jesus is talking to Peter, and he says to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. And I has just told these, or asked these disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, yeah, Lord, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amazing, the right answer, Peter, well done. So he said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Just simply talking about Bar-Jonah is the son of Jonah. Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So he says to him, you are blessed, Simon. You're a son of Jonah. You come from a great family. You're blessed. But I'm going to tell you something else. I say to you that you are Peter. There's a new identity I want to give you. You're blessed. You come from a great family. But I want to say to you, Peter, you are Peter. On this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against you. Saying to Peter, I'm giving you a new identity. You are going to be, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to preach the first sermon. 3,000 people are going to be saved. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to start to build my church on your faith. Just the fact that you know that I'm the Christ. I'm able to do this. But he says to him, Peter, you've got a new identity. Now, if we think about this, Peter was still going to deny Jesus 3 times. Peter was still the one that was going to turn his back and say, I want to go back to fishing. I don't really believe in this stuff. But before all of that, Jesus still said, Peter, this is your true identity. This is your true character. Even when Peter denied him still, he still believed in Peter. He still believed in the man who was going to preach the first sermon when the Holy Spirit came. He still believed in him, despite the fact that he was going to deny him. And he knew that. Jesus knew everything. But he still believed. He saw the true character of the man. And that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to see people differently. So I trust that after tonight, God, when we go out there, we're going to see people differently. We're going to start to identify potential. That's now another sermon on its own. But we're going to see people's true character. Identify potential, see the good points, and start to build on that. Forget about the sin that the guy's in. Yes, he needs to repent of that sin, but you pray for him then. But you start to encourage him in his good points. You start to encourage him and say, man, you are going to just make such a difference for the kingdom of God. I can see it. Seeing the true character, that's where celebration continues. And then the story continues. Isn't it exciting? Are you guys still with me? We're still here in Luke. Just shake someone next to you and just say, wake up, we're going somewhere. I know it's Sunday afternoon. We've got to get used to this 4 o'clock thing, but isn't it amazing? Do you guys enjoy the afternoon service? I love it. You can do more things on a Sunday morning. We went to the zoo. We took little Matthew to the zoo. It was amazing. First time in the Pretoria Zoo, so it was awesome. But anyway, yeah, we are 4 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, and we've got to focus because God is speaking to us. He is busy speaking. So what is the story continue? Story continues, and the father is so excited. He says, servants, I've given this guy a new identity. Come, bring the fatted calf. Bring the fatted. This calf is so ready to be slaughtered. We are going to have a massive steak party. We are going to eat lots of meat. And he says, kill this calf immediately. Let us eat and be merry. And then he says, for this my son was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and he's found. And they began to be merry. And as I said when I started, we need to learn as Christians to really celebrate. We need to learn to have fun in the kingdom of God, to eat and be merry. And I know many of us do it. It's just amazing last night to see everyone just so free and not worrying about, you know, what people think, just dancing. And it was just awesome. But we in the kingdom, we need to do that not only when there's a formal organized or when there's a briar or something. We just need to do it continually. Because, you know, you see, some of us, maybe when we were small, some of our parents said to us, you know, you better not laugh too much now. Don't get too excited because it's just going to end in tears. It's just going to end in tears. So don't get too excited about life. Just keep it calm now. Let's keep it on a level here. And some of us sit with that still. We can't get too excited about the kingdom. We can't get too excited about God because just now we're going to have a fall, you know. Just now we're going to get hurt. And we need to break that over our lives because we can get excited and excited and excited. The kingdom is coming. It's amazing. So we can really get excited. You see, the Father gave His best here. This story, the fatted calf, talks about John 3:16, God giving His absolute best for us, Jesus Christ Himself. God saying, I just want to give my best. That's the only way that you're going to come to me anyway. The Father here saying, bring the fatted calf. Bring my best here. I want to celebrate with the Son who has returned. Jesus came and He was that best. He was the best that the Father had. Now, I'll never forget my 21st. It happened there on the farm in the Karoo in Crofernet. My parents just decided to have this huge party. They got a marquee tent out there on the yard, and it was just this amazing, about 120 people. Now, it felt to me like a wedding, you know, and I thought, yes, you know, this is only a 21st. You know, what's my wedding going to look like? You know, I do have to exceed this, you know. But I mean, it was just for me so amazing. My parents just did everything to celebrate. My dad still gave me this key. It was like a tradition. He gave me a key, like almost just symbolizing the key of life, and people wrote on it and wrote blessings and just said, you know, may the next 21 be great, and may the next, you know, 42 and whatever be great, and people just blessed me, and I just felt so celebrated that night. I felt so like, this is just amazing. This is how this father must have celebrated with his son. Just organizing this huge party, everyone in the district coming, all my friends just coming. It was just so awesome. And God wants to do that with each and every one of us. He wants to celebrate us so that we can celebrate others. You see, if we haven't been celebrated, then we cannot celebrate other people. So maybe tonight you need to be celebrated again. And the opportunity is here for you to just say, Lord, here I am. And God is just going to celebrate and love you. And he's already dancing over you right now. But you just need to recognize that and say, thank you, Lord, that you are celebrating me. Thank you that you love me. That even if I was the only one, Jesus, you would have still come for me. Thank you, Lord, that you are making a great, great celebration for me. You see, because the time is coming that we're going to have to practice. But I'll get to that now. In Luke 15, verse 7, the parable just before that of the lost sheep, at the end it says, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. This parable where the one sheep came back and heaven goes mad. Heaven goes mad when one sinner repents. Heaven goes mad when people turn to Jesus. So I want to challenge all of us, including myself, when was the last time that you celebrated someone turning to Jesus? Because heaven goes mad. Heaven can't wait for people to turn. Heaven can't wait. And the angels are waiting for everyone. And maybe you're the next person here this evening. Maybe there's an opportunity for you here. If you don't know the Lord Jesus. If you've never been celebrated. Because you see, we are going to have to start practicing. Because there is a great celebration coming. Here in Revelation 19, John writing, and he says, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and His wife has made herself ready. You see, there's a marriage supper of the Lamb that's coming. So we better get ready. We better start celebrating now and practicing because there's an amazing celebration in heaven waiting for us. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, right, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. There's a marriage supper that's coming. And I'm just so excited for that. I don't know about you, but it's going to be much bigger than any celebration we've had in our lives. It's going to be an awesome celebration. But there's one sad thing about that celebration is that some people will miss out. Some people are not going to be there. And they're going to say to us, well, why didn't you tell me? I'll never forget this. A friend of mine in Stellenbosch, he got radically saved. He was in this one res, a private res. Well, two of them actually got saved. And this one guy was an engineer, and he was in this class with this other person who was in Shofar. They came into Shofar. They were in the small group, started to get to know people. And he was in class with this one guy who had been in Shofar a long time. And he just turned to him and he said to him, why didn't you tell me about all this awesome stuff? Why didn't you tell me long ago? You know, he was like so upset with this guy. And this guy's like shocked now. He realized you better start to evangelize a bit and just witness a bit. Because this guy has challenged him and said, but why didn't you tell me about this just when I started here? I've missed out. It's fourth year now. I've wasted all my student years drinking, partying, wasting my life. Why didn't you tell me about the fact that I can be saved? I can be set free of this. And it was also, I was a small group facilitator, and these guys came into my small group, and it was just a stirring, and the group multiplied, and it was just amazing. But, you know, God just started challenging us and saying, there's some people who are going to say one day, but why didn't you just tell me? Why didn't you just tell me about this marriage supper that's happening? I want to be there. And the saddest thing is some are going to miss out. But the great thing is we're going to be there. But it's not just about us, you see. God wants many people to that celebration. Heaven is going to go mad every time people repent. And you see, celebration always includes many others. As I say, it's not just about ourselves. It's not just about us having great church. Celebration includes many, many other people. Now, I don't know if you guys watched the World Cup final. But as soon as Mahendra Singh Dhoni hit that six, it was like everyone that was supporting India was like, they immediately turned to someone else. Doesn't matter who was next to them. But it was just like, you cannot celebrate that on your own. You cannot just jump up and down on your own. You have to go and hug someone, even if the guy was a poor Sri Lankan supporter. Probably all morning there. But I mean, when you celebrate like that, you cannot, for a while you can keep it yourself, but then you have to go tell your best friend. You have to go and celebrate with someone, and the more the merrier. You know, it's like, it's just so amazing when you get all the people, and then the whole team was together, and they were just hugging each other. You see, celebration can only happen for a while on our own. And that's why church is so exciting. That's why it's so lekker to get together and worship the Lord like this on a Sunday. And in your small groups and wherever there's a prayer meeting, it's just awesome because when we're celebrating it, we cannot do it. Yes, it's important in your own quiet time. That's so important. But celebration cannot really have its fullness if we're not with other people. There's always as many people as possible. And that's why heaven one day cannot wait for the whole earth to be there. But unfortunately, some people are just going to choose not to be there. And they are just going to, it's just going to be so hectic for them when they realize that they're not going to die. They're actually living for eternity, but they're going to live away from God. What a sad thought. But there is a great celebration coming. So when we celebrate, what happens? The story continues now. My last point, I'm getting there. What's the time? We're well on time here. Luke chapter 15, verse 25. Listen to what happens. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and he asked what these things mean. You see, when there's a celebration, when there's a happening, there will always be questions asked. There will always be a vibe that goes out in the spirit and in the natural, and people will start to ask questions. Now some people will decide, like this older brother, we all know, he was bitter and he just didn't want to join the party. Some people will decide, well, why are they having such a great time? I'm all bitter, I'm not going to enjoy it. I'll just, you know, spend time with myself and feel all sorry for myself and think, but where's my inheritance? Instead of just joining in and saying, this is my inheritance to be and celebrate with this younger son that's come back. But you see, others will come. Others will hear the sound of the celebration. They will come and they will start to join in the celebration, join in the worship. So, it's up to us just to say, we're going to celebrate because there's a spiritual thing that's going on. When we come together on a Sunday and we worship the Lord, in the spirit, it's going out into this place. It's going out into campus. It's going out into this area and into this city and this region that there's a celebration happening. Jesus is being glorified. So it's exciting to be part of this. So what I want to say is don't miss out. Come along because the more we are, the further it can reach. The further we can go from this place and take the celebration into our workplaces. Take the celebration to where we live every day and to celebrate other people. Now there's a story in Nehemiah. Now, those of you know, Nehemiah built, he was called by the Lord to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And at the end here, he just said, we want to have a celebration here. The walls have been built, they were broken down, now they're all solid, they're ready to, you know, protect Jerusalem. So let's have this amazing celebration. So here in verse 27 of Nehemiah chapter 12, it reads as follows. Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites in all their places, to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and singing, with cymbals and stringed instruments and harps. Amazing that Nehemiah got all his band and his worship team and he said, everyone come, we are going to celebrate. We are going to have a great time because the walls have been rebuilt. And yet it continues in verse 43. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and they rejoiced for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced. So that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. See, there's a far-reaching effect. When we celebrate, there's a far-reaching effect that's going to happen. We are going to start to hear the sound of worship. People are going to hear the sound of worship, the sound of celebration, and they're going to ask questions. It's going to go out. It's going to go far. So the good news tonight is that we can celebrate together. We can celebrate when we in our families. We can celebrate wherever we go out. But let's get people together and start to celebrate the goodness of God. If you in your own, in your workplace or in your class, trust the Lord to just get a few people that you can start praying together and just celebrating the people in the class and say, Lord, I know that person is so off the rails, but God, you're going to save them. There's a redemptive purpose in that person's life. Just see the potential. But start to allow the far-reaching effect of celebration to happen throughout our lives, throughout the workplaces, throughout where we live and where we go every day. Because then lives are going to be touched. And then we'll be reminded again that we have been celebrated. God has called us and celebrated over us and He will continue to do it forever. God will continue to celebrate us. So I'd like the band just to come up this afternoon. It would be great if you guys can just minister to us. Because I believe this evening that God really wants to speak to a few people here this afternoon. Maybe, as I said, maybe you've never been celebrated. Maybe there's things in your life that are just blocking you. But the challenge is that you're looking at the negatives. You're looking at just what's in front of you, not living by faith. Not seeing the supernatural. And seeing Romans 8 verse 28 that says, but it's going to work together for your good. The tough time you're going through, it's going to work together for your good. just know that I'm on your side. God is on your side. God is celebrating each and every one of us as we sit here. But we need to start to realize that God has been celebrating us even when we were still sinners. God has been celebrating us. He's got a passionate love for us. God is just so committed to us, but He's also just committed to the people out there. He's committed to seeing true character in us and seeing the true character in others come to their fulfillment. Seeing people make disciples. Seeing people walk with the proper sandals on, walk with the proper robe on and the proper ring on. The full authority that He's given us. God is seeing that. And God wants to have a great celebration with everyone. But the key is this. This is my last scripture. The key is in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything. It doesn't say just in most things and just, yeah, in the few challenges in your life, just, you know, forget about that. No, give thanks in everything. Give thanks in what you're going through. Give thanks in even the test that you failed. Thank God that you're going to still pass that test. Because He's going to work it out for your good. He's going to teach you something. Give thanks for, if someone has died, Lord, You, the author of life. Give thanks for the seed that is going to come from that death. The seed that is going to be sown and people's lives that are going to be touched. Because even when someone dies, there's a realization of life and death. So every bad thing, there's a good thing in it. Every bad thing has a good thing. We must just see it. We must have a positive expectation to see the good things that God is doing. But we must give thanks, you see. We must give thanks in everything. Because as soon as we stop giving thanks in areas of our lives, then the devil has a foothold and he says, look at the negative stuff. Look at all this junk that's happening. But when we start giving thanks for the things that are happening and say, Lord, You're in control. I still give You thanks, God. Then we'll start to celebrate. And we'll start to celebrate the work of the cross. We'll start to celebrate the people in our church. We'll start to celebrate the others out there. Because God loves us. God loves everyone out there. So Father, we thank You for Your word this afternoon. We thank You that it's just been such a wonderful day, God. And this whole day has been a day of celebration, God. And even some of our lives, all we can see is just negative stuff. All we can see is just the mess that the earth is in, God. But thank You that we can look up, Lord, and look up to see what You see, God. And that You are dancing over us, Lord. That You love every one of us, Lord. You want to celebrate us every day, God. But we just sometimes don't come into Your courts with thanksgiving, God. We don't. We always forget, God. We forget about the great things You've done for us, Lord. And we allow the devil to come and keep us negative, Lord. But we thank You tonight that we can change that around, Lord. In the Spirit, we say no to negativity. We say no to criticism. We say no to being sin-focused and sin-conscious, Lord. And we see Your glory, God. We see Your celebration, God. That in heaven, the angels are even dancing the fact that we are coming together here and worshiping You, Lord. So we just bless You for Your presence this evening. We just bless You, Lord. We want to focus on You and You alone, Lord. So take our lives, God. We lay them down before You again, God. And we give You all the burdens, God. We just shake off all the burdens off our shoulders, Lord, in the Spirit, in Jesus' name. And even heavy burdens in the natural. Maybe there's sickness or just suffering in our bodies. Lord, we even give that to You because You're the great healer here, Lord. So You are able to take that. You've already taken all our iniquities, all our sins on Yourself. We just bless You tonight. I'm just going to ask us all to stand and the band is going to just minister to us. Just a song of celebration, Sarah Ann. Just a nice praise song would be great. And I really want us this afternoon, because I just sensed in the worship earlier on that we really need to shake off the burdens. I just sense people really need to, we need to celebrate God again. We're sort of half excited, but we're not 100% excited because there's so much stuff weighing us down. We're thinking about too many things, analyzing too many things. God just says, come into My presence. Just come with joy. And we're going to sing this song. And if you need prayer this afternoon, please come forward. God wants to break that negativity out of your life. He wants to break just the cycle where you just see the wrong stuff. You're not seeing His glory. You're not seeing His goodness. You're not seeing the fact that He is moving all over the earth. He's moving even in people's lives around you. You're not seeing that. God just says, I want to break that over your life. I'm dancing over you and I want to put new sandals on your feet this evening. I want to put a robe again of righteousness on you and giving My authority. Maybe you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit. God says, that's My authority. I want to give it all to you. That you can minister to others out there and that you can live a life of fulfillment. So let's just celebrate the song. Let's just bless the Lord this evening. Because He's good. Hallelujah. Thank you that you're speaking to us, Lord, and I thank you right now that you're speaking to every person. Lord, different things for different people, but thank you that you're faithful, Lord, to fulfill the purposes in every person's life that's sitting under my voice today. And thank you, Lord, that even right now, I just sense God saying that there's some people that are, one or two people, you're struggling to hear the voice of God, and that's just caused confusion in your life, and you're frustrated, and you just, you can't hear exactly, you're so passionate for the Lord, but you can't, you're just struggling to hear His voice clearly as to where you must go. And the Lord just wants to break that over your life. He wants to come and give you peace, give you clarity in that. And for some other people, I sense God just saying that your physical body, you've maybe got an affliction or something in your body, and you've given up hope or given up faith that God is going to heal it. And that's causing you to steal your joy. And God says that, come to Him again. Come and step out in faith. God will do it. If He doesn't heal you, it's not His fault. Who knows whose fault it is? Maybe God's got another plan. He wants to heal you. He's good. But that has just caused you to really just be almost bitter towards God. Not bitter, but you've given up hope and you've almost just grown to that place, you can't celebrate. You're just not free. So God just says, come forward. Come and trust Him again. Even if you've trusted Him many times and you haven't been healed, God says He's faithful. So He will heal you in His time. God is good. God is awesome. And He's for each and every one of you. So if you need prayer this evening, if you are confused maybe in your mind and it's just stealing your joy and you can't celebrate in your life, just come forward. God wants to break that over your life. And if you maybe just feel your identity and your authority, if you need the Holy Spirit, just come. And even if you need to be prayed again, just to seal the Holy Spirit in your life as the authority of God, then come forward. Whatever you need for prayer, God is here to heal and to touch and to deliver. God is so good, people. So, you're dismissed. You're welcome to go and have some coffee afterwards. If you do need prayer, please come forward right now. God is good. He's going to touch you right here. So, just come forward. Everyone who needs prayer, in whatever area, just come and respond to the goodness of God. God loves every one of you. He's so good. So, thanks. God bless you guys. Have a great week. Thanks for coming to the early service. May you have a great evening. You can enjoy the time from 6 to 8 whenever you would have been in church. But enjoy it and have a great week. We'll see you here next week again. Okay. And remember the leaders. Please be at the leaders meeting on tomorrow evening. Okay. Hallelujah. Can I just have some facilitators as well to pray as well, please? Thanks, guys.